Good morning.
Good morning.
I'd like to welcome our visitors that we have with us. We're very glad to worship with you this morning, and we feel honored. If there's anything we can do for you, please let us know.
Amen.
We do have a prayer request from Sister Glenda. She asked for prayers for a friend of hers, Connie, her husband David, and their daughter Joy. They lost their son and brother yesterday due to COVID, and she requests prayers for them. I couldn't imagine anything worse. But let's go to God right now on behalf of that family. Dear Heavenly Father, we humbly come to you thanking you for all the blessings that you give us. Dear God, we come to you right now on behalf of this family, Connie, David, and Joy, who have lost a son and a brother. We ask that you please comfort them. We ask that they turn to you for that comfort. Dear God, we, in all the sadness that we experience in life, let us always realize also that you are the giver of all of our great joy. And like Job, we can't just take the good. We have to take the bad that comes in life also. Dear God, we ask that this family is comforted. We hope that Glenda can be of a personal comfort to them and encouragement. Dear God, please forgive us for the things that we do wrong, and we pray everything through your Son, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Well, 2022, man. I mean, it just sounds, so far. I mean, what was it? Stacy ran across the other day. Remember the old 1970s movie Soylent Green?
Uh-huh.
That took place in 2022. You know, the science fiction movies that we grew up with, we're now living in.
Amen.
You know, I mean, all the futuristic stuff, it's here. But it's kind of hard to imagine 2022. I was looking at recently, a month or so ago, I was looking through some old papers and stuff and realized I started preaching here in 2012. 10 years. Where is it gone?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you like it, pat me on the back. If you don't like the fact that I've been here 10 years, you can blame him. this guy right here. But that's a whole nother story. But anyway, I want us to get into our lesson today, preaching the word. This is something that is very important to me. I take very serious. I think you do too.
Amen.
This is something, this lesson, that I hope you always require not only of me, but require of any of the men that ever bring a lesson from the pulpit here. As you go your own ways, and as we move and go other places, or visitors that worship in another location, I hope this lesson is something that you will require of anybody that preaches the word to you and your congregation. The scripture, our scripture reading that we had earlier, I was looking at this passage and it dawned on me how much of preaching God's word is in this short passage. The what, the how of preaching is wrapped up in this verse that was read earlier by Frank. It's Paul's writing to the Thessalonians in chapter 2, starting in verse 4. It says, but as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, who tests our hearts. For neither at any time did we use flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak for covetousness. God is witness. Nor did we seek glory from men, neither from you or from others, when we might have made demands as apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, just as a nursing mother cherishes her own children, so affectionately longing for you. We were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you had become dear to us. For you remember, brethren, our labor and toil, for laboring night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you. We preached the gospel. We preached to you the gospel of God.
Amen.
That short passage in so many ways sums up the preaching of the gospel. The what needs to be preached, the how it needs to be preached. Some of the things, and as we go through this lesson, I think when we cover the different aspects of it, you'll see how it falls back into this passage. One of the ways that the word has to be preached is obviously in word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10:17. It has to be done when the word is preached. It has to be done in truth.
Amen.
Jesus said that that you have to worship in spirit and in truth. So the word that is preached has to be done in truth. Not worldly stories. Not that you can't weave in. You know, Jesus did that with the parables. But it has to be the truth of the gospel. Not the social gospel, not pop psychology, not the warm, fuzzy, feel good, you know, cotton candy sermons. It has to be complete. You can preach the truth, but not preach the complete truth. Down the road, it's kind of rolling around in there, kind of like just a ball bouncing around at this point right now. But I'd like to do a sermon on inconvenient truths. There is a lot of lessons God teaches us that are inconvenient to do, but they still need to be done. The lessons on God's love are easy to preach.
Yes.
The lessons about how God loves us and wants us to go, those are easy. There are some lessons that are not as easy to preach. About how if you don't do certain things, you'll go to hell. The word has to be taught completely. And it has to be appropriate at the right time. It has to be applicable. Basically, the preacher needs to know the audience. You can preach the truth and it be complete, but maybe the wrong timing. That message may not be at the appropriate time. Or preaching over or under people's knowledge level. I've never been accused of this, but I've heard some preachers I didn't understand half the words they were saying. They kind of talked a little high and lofty. No one's ever accused me of that. But the word has to be preached through the word. In 2 Timothy, Paul told his beloved Timothy, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Basically, when it's convenient and when it's not convenient. You convince people. You rebuke them. You exhort them. And how? With all long-suffering and teaching. I'm glad he put that in, because you can preach the word. Some preachers are really good at rebuking. They confuse sometimes, they confuse this for a hammer. And they try to pound it into your brain. Sometimes you have to convince. Sometimes you have to encourage. And the way you do it, and it's not always easy, long-suffering and teaching. Some people don't get it as easy as others. Some people, what do you do with somebody that's not picking it up as fast as you think they should? You got to do it with long-suffering and teaching. Acts 20, verse 7, wrote, "For I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God." Not cherry pick, not buffet style Christianity, picking and choosing certain aspects of the gospel, the easier things to teach, but to declare the whole counsel of God. Mm-hmm. Now you can't do it all in one lesson. That'd take a little bit. 1 Corinthians 9, Paul says, "To the weak, I became as weak." Didn't say he became weak, but he became as weak. "That I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some." Paul understood, I'm not going to save everybody. Jesus didn't save everybody. Not everybody believed Jesus. Some rejected him, the greatest teacher of all. Paul had a pretty good track record, but he understood, I'm not going to be able to reach everybody. But I will become all things to all men, that I might save some of them. Now this I do for the gospel's sake, that I may be partaker of it with you. He doesn't want to lose his salvation in the process. Colossians 4:6, Paul says, "Let your speech be always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one." How you preach is as important as what you're preaching. You don't want to necessarily come at somebody with both barrels. There may be a time and a place for that, but let your speech always be with grace, that you might say the right thing at the right time. First Peter, the Apostle Peter, says basically the same thing. He says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear." This is not just to preachers. This is to us Christians. Every one of us. That's why we have a preacher. You can't fall back on that concept with this verse. We all need to always have that, be ready for that defense. When somebody asks us something, you may be at work or in your neighborhood or maybe even in your family, you may be the closest thing to a Bible that they know. You may be the closest thing to God that they know. And they come to you with a question. Why do you do this? How can you be so positive in such a dark world? When you face trials and tribulations, how do you get through it? How do you get saved? I want to go to heaven. How do I do it? Whatever their question is, be ready to give a defense. And that's not just for preachers. We're all preachers. We've just been elevated. We have to preach not only in word, but also in conduct. Our conduct, a lot of times, can either validate or invalidate the words we were preaching. And that's important. You can preach the right words, but if your conduct doesn't match it, they throw the baby out with the bathwater. We can't be a hypocrite as a Christian. When we're preaching the word, we can invalidate all that truth that we're trying to teach people if we're a hypocrite. I'll tell you, you can see a hypocrite a mile away. Be a living sermon. People will see a sermon a lot better than they listen to one. Mm-hmm. Philippians 1:27, Paul wrote, "Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ." That's an interesting line right there. Let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ. So that whether I come and see you or I'm absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Kind of tying in together what we had talked about today in Bible class. Philippians 4:9, just a couple chapters later, Paul says, "The things which you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do. And the God of peace will be with you." Paul was confident and could say, "The things you heard and saw in me." Mm-hmm. Not that do as I say, but not as I do.
Amen.
He was confident he could say, "The things you heard and saw in me." I wonder sometimes, can I say that? I like to think I could stand solid on the things you've heard. But the things you've seen, we've got to live up to that. Because if people don't see in us as Christians that Christian life, the words are meaningless.
Amen.
And last but not least, not only do we have to preach the word, we have to have the right conduct, but we have to have the right attitude with it.
Amen.
You can't just go through the motions. You can't just put on a mask and play the right conduct. You've got to have the right heart, the right attitude in it. and with preaching. It's not about the preacher. Never has been except with Jesus. It's not about the preacher. Some preachers need to learn a little humility. Mm-hmm. Some people have come up to me before and said, I really got a lot out of that lesson. And that makes me feel good. But even if nobody did, I know one person every week benefits from the lessons. Me. So they're not fully wasted. Some person, I know I'm going to benefit. Next, 4:20, the Apostle Peter says, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. They were being told, the apostles were being told, quit preaching in this name of Jesus. You're turning Jerusalem upside down. The religious leaders of the day were saying, don't do it. We commanded you not to do it. And Peter responded, we cannot but speak the things that we've seen and heard.
Amen.
We've got to. It'd be impossible for us not to. 1 Corinthians 9, Paul said, for if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of. For necessity is laid upon me. Yes, woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. In Colossians, and whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Whatever it is we do, whether we're preaching, whether we're uplifting the brethren by just attending, by preparing communion, by teaching a class, by straightening the chairs, whatever you do in word or deed, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus. 1 Corinthians 3, starting in verse 5. Christians, it didn't take long after the foundation of the church for people to start stumbling and getting a few wrong attitudes. They were starting to follow different people. Paul baptized me. Well, I was baptized by Apollos. Apollos taught me. Peter taught me. It's not about you. And Paul wrote this. Who then is Paul? And who is Apollos? But ministers through whom you believed. They were just the conduit.
Amen.
As the Lord gave to each one, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then, neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase.
Amen.
That's where the power is. 1 Corinthians 11:28, we use this verse a lot of times when we're in communion. But let a man examine himself. This is often used in connection with communion. We can use this in our daily lives. But let a Christian examine himself to see if he's living up to God's standards or not. The priest, before they would go into service in the temple, they would have to cleanse themselves in the bronze laver bowl. Not only when you're cleansing yourself, can you see your reflection in the water? But the bowl itself was reflective. And so as you're preparing as a priest to go into the temple to serve God, you're seeing yourself. That should be us. Let a man examine himself in the service to God. 2 Peter, you therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware, lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked. Preaching the word, it's a great responsibility, it's a great honor. But this is something that I would encourage you always, wherever you're worshiping, to not only ask, demand of the people preaching the word of God that they do it in word, straight from the word, in conduct, live up to that word, and with the proper attitude. If you need to respond to the invitation this morning, we urge you to come forward, let your needs be known, and we will address those needs as a congregation. Let's stand and sing.